to West Leisure Revenue Podcast, where we educate, enlighten, and encourage how to improve our quality of sleep, to grow our business, and improve your health and wellness. I am Donna D. Mooring, certified sleep science coach, holistic life coach, accountability fitness coach, author, national editor of the Black National Unity News, and a speaker. I am pleased to have my special guest, Bianca J. Jackson, storyteller, branding consultant, professional speaker, leader, business owner, trainer, and a LinkedIn expert, and so much more. Thank you, Bianca.
Thank you, Donetta. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm going to get right to it. Now, my first question would be, how did you transition from corporate to entrepreneur?
Most people do a slow transition, right? So in my case, what I wound up doing was starting my first business as a side hustle. So I did that in 2014. By 2017, I felt comfortable enough to, you know, jump out there. Now, I'm not saying that it'll take you 3 years, but that's just, you know, I felt comfortable with that time frame because like most people, I wanted to save up money, have a nice nest egg, feel comfortable with, you know, marketing, doing the marketing, the sales for my business, and, you know, just really get a system down packed that would produce the money that, you know, I would need. And that's what I wound up doing. So the transition, you know, could be slow like that, right? Very paced style, very systematic. Or I've seen people actually leave their jobs within like 3 to 6 months, depending on what type of clients that they've gotten, whether or not they've been able to replace their income at a steady pace. It just really depends on, you know, what your strategy is going to be.
Oh, okay, great. All right, then the next question, how does educated employees seeking employment differ from entrepreneurs seeking clients or customers?
Oh, man. I mean, the interesting thing is the process is pretty much the same. the difference is that with an employee, most employees think that they don't have any power in where they go. They just have to accept any offer that comes their way. And that's so much farther than the truth. Whereas when you're an entrepreneur, you feel like you have more freedom to pick and choose your clients, right? So the process, and let me just talk about the process, right? So the process is the same. What I mean is that you got to be very clear on what you want to accomplish. So as an employee, what is your next role that you want to get, right? So you can do that with the assistance of LinkedIn. It's all about personal branding. The same thing for the entrepreneur. Who do you serve? What are the results that you get? And what do you do, right? So it's like really controlling that personal brand, and you kind of go after whoever it is that you want, but you got to be very clear. So in both of them, you got to understand who you are, what you do, and be very intentional. Those are the similarities between the two processes. But I don't know, it just seems like when people become entrepreneurs or they put themselves in that mindset, it's almost like their whole personality changes, right? They're like, well, I don't have to deal with, you know, this or that, you know, because I don't have to, I own a business. Whereas a lot of times when we work as employees, we're like, well, I have to do this for my family, and I got to make sure that I put, you know, food on my kids' table. And, you know, just, you know, it's just almost like servant attitude we take when we're employees, but when we're entrepreneurs,
right,
you're like, well, I already jumped out there. Let me be risky.
Right. True. That is true.
So when you think about who gets the most opportunities at work, right, this is normally the person, you know, unless there's like someone's niece, nephew, uncle, you know, a relative, right? So if nepotism is not playing a factor in it, it's always the person that, you know, everyone seems to know, right? Everyone seems to like, and they've created this brand for themselves that they're approachable, they're likable, they're competent, and that there's just something quote-unquote special about them. A lot of times, employees don't think that they should be creating a personal brand, and they should. So whatever your strong suit is, if you are the, you know, Inspector Gadget, you're always researching something, you want to get down to the bottom of it, then like go 100% with that brand so that when a project comes along that requires, you know, very, very astute research skills, right, and data analysis and being able to synthesize information, you become, people are like, oh yeah, you need to go get, you know, Tom, right, or, you know, or James, because that's how people see you. A lot of times employees don't think about what their brand is, and they're just like, well, I just want to kind of like hang out in the back. I just want to do my work. I don't want anyone to ask me to do anything else. And then they get upset when they get passed over for promotions. It's like, well, everyone doesn't really know what you can do because you've been kind of playing in the background. So I think for any employee, it's actually up to you within the first 90 days to really figure out what you want your brand to be, and so that you start crafting that narrative for yourself before people start making one for you, right? So if you are like an introvert and quiet, this happened to me all of corporate America. I kind of sat and played the background until I got to maybe like my last two jobs. And people just made up all these stories about who I was. And it became harder trying to prove that I wasn't that versus when I got the picture. It was like, oh, okay, I see how this works. Like, I got to get out here and show you who I am. And then I became the brand. You know, I became the person, the brand that I wanted to. So when I was working for USA Today, I purposely stood up in meetings. I talked about things that really bothered me. I remember there was a situation where they were creating marketing material. And on this marketing material, it had like a fictional character, and his skin was yellow, but he looked like Kanye West, but he looked like a rapper. It was a stereotype.
Oh my.
yeah, it was really bad. So I said to the only other black girl who was in the department, I was like, does that bother you? She was like, hell yeah. And she was like, I was like, would you say anything about this? She was like, no, I wouldn't. So I was like, well, I guess I have to. And of course, when I talked to the young lady who made it, and apparently she wasn't American, she was actually Russian, right? And she thought it was cool. She was just like, oh, well, this is like our targeted audience. I said, that might be them, but that your fictional character shouldn't look like Kanye West with yellow skin.
Right.
Like, that's just not that's not okay. And I said to her, and I said, no, I'm gonna tell you this. If you don't listen to me and you put this out, you're gonna get all type of backlash. Like, people are gonna come for the company. It's gonna go way past me telling you this is a bad idea to like corporate embarrassment. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. So I became that person, but in a way that people respected. So then that led to an appointment on the company's diversity and inclusion task force for employees. So out of tens of thousands of employees around the country, I was one of 22 people picked. So
that's
what I mean.
Great. I see.
Yeah. So that's what it is. So, you know, in that opportunity of, you know, joining the task force, I got to lead, you know, they called it the next gen group, which was like the millennial group at the time. I was a part of the women's group. I was a part of the minority group, or black group, I should say. And so now I began to interface with all these people across the company in different states, all because of that one thing of me just telling that woman, this is a bad idea.
Right.
And it got me, you know, on the radar of the VP of the department. So that's what I mean by people really need to decide who they're going to be when they show up to work, and especially when you start a new job, so that you don't get a label put on you and then people just assume you're that because you're not speaking up for yourself.
Right. But that's great, because at times you realize you hear of that go-to person at a job, that you go to that person that they know what to do, they know how to handle it and everything, but I really never thought of it as branding. So that's great, a great analogy. So I'm glad you shared it with us. That's really interesting. Okay, thank you. Okay,
you're
now
welcome.
The next question. Can you share with us how Brick Rose Exchange came about with all your other business endeavors?
Oh, absolutely. So I love Brick Rose Exchange. This is like my freedom project, you know, as I refer to it as myself. So as I was finishing up with corporate America, you know, I needed to get out of there, and I needed to get out of there fast. The next step for me was selling my house. So, you know, I kind of bought, like most people, right? You buy into the quote unquote American dream and you just look at it. You're like, all right, I got the house. I got the job. I'm not happy with any of this. So it's just like either you keep on doing it because other people expect you to do it, or you decide what you want your life to be and how you're going to get to your happiness. So
right.
I left my job. I sold my house. I couch surfed for a little bit. I stayed with my parents. And, you know, I think the first week they were happy to see me. By week three, they were like, okay, can you leave now? I'm like, I don't got nowhere to go. So I wound up, you know, kind of staying between my sisters, friends, my parents, and then I found a building. My original plan was actually to move to Charlotte. If you had talked to me in 2008, hands down, I was moving to Charlotte. My other sister lived there. And I just happened to have a conversation with a realtor who didn't open house for my house before it sold. And she's like, oh, I saw that your house sold in the system, so the MLS system. And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, it looks really beautiful. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to Charlotte. She goes, oh, my God. Like, let's catch up for lunch. So I'm like, okay. So we go to lunch, and she's asking me about my plans. And that, at the time, I didn't even have a name. Brick Rose, the name didn't even exist yet. Just kind of like the seed of an idea. And the seed of the idea was, I think a lot of our people, a lot of Black people, a lot of brown people are always looking for ways to help our community, right? So the first go-to idea that we have is nonprofit. Well, I've been studying nonprofits, and I've been seeing a lot of nonprofits struggling because they can't get money. So I'm just like, I don't want to be a nonprofit, right? Like, I want to be able to I want to be able to choose whether or not I want to disclose my financials. I want to pick the project and not be mandated by, you know, federal laws and ordinance or whatever else to do what they want me to do. So I'm like, all right, it has to be a for-profit entity. But I'm like, I still want to work with the community in some way. So the idea of Brick Rose actually started at a table at a Chinese restaurant in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story, but I'll try to give you the shorter version of this. So I had lunch with a gentleman who worked for Google. I had met him maybe about 6 or 8 months before at a conference in California, believe it or not. And so he was at this conference, and he was like, hey, I didn't know you were going to be here. I was like, I didn't know you were going to be here. So we sat at lunch for 2.5 hours, and he was just telling me idea after idea after idea, and I was telling him what I wanted to do. So the seed of Brick Rose started with a pop-up shop. He was like, why don't you have a space that could serve for pop-up shops? So that is the seed of Brick Rose, is the pop-up shop. And then as I started to think about it more, it's like I have way too many talents just to have a space for a pop-up spot. So it quickly evolved into an event space, you know, primarily an art gallery and meeting space, specifically for socially conscious entrepreneurs and nonprofit leaders. So I knew that when I left corporate America, I wanted to cut my commute down to zero, which I pretty much did, because I was spending an hour and a half in traffic, just about hour and 15 minutes. And I was just like, I'm tired of driving. I want to run a business, you know, relatively close by to where I work. And that's how Brick Rose came to be. The name itself, though, is an inspiration of maintaining culture and tradition while also honoring innovation, right? So when you think about, so, you know, Brick as the foundation, Rose as the innovation, and Rose from the concrete. And also, I'm kind of like a Tupac fan, so he has a poem called Rose from the Concrete. Well, anyway, oh man, I lost my train of thought. But no, that's the name. Yeah, so that's the name. You know, Bricks for Foundation, Rose for Innovation, and like the exchange of it. So a lot of times what you see is cities around the United States, and, you know, Baltimore, in my opinion, is the last city that Black people, and I truly honestly believe this, is the last city that Black people can substantially build wealth in a major metropolitan city. When you start looking at Philly, New York, so all the boroughs of New York are pretty much taken over, they're gentrified. When I was looking at potentially bringing the Brick Rose idea, the seed idea to Philly, there was a building on the avenue where I grew up as a child. My mom still lives there. My father passed a couple of months ago, but we had lived there for 30 something years. So the building on the avenue where I grew up, all of the homes in that area were less than $100,000 when we grew up. The building on the avenue, that I was looking at that was for sale was selling. I was so excited. I went to go look it up online. It was $700,000.
Oh my goodness!
I couldn't afford to buy that building, and so I came to Baltimore because Baltimore reminds me so much of Philly. It has a lot of the same aspects, and it was half that price. So it was just like, all right, well, Baltimore's getting this Brick Rose idea, and it worked out for the better because I didn't have to go that far from Silver Spring where I was living. It's just up the road about 45 minutes, an hour, depending on where around in the DMV you're leaving from. But it's so quiet. It's so quiet. And I think that Baltimore is just honestly a gem that a lot of people are missing out on. And that's okay.
Right.
They can go ahead and stay away, right?
Right.
For a city that's built for, For a city that's built for 1 million people, I want to say there's less than 600,000 people here. So that means that there aren't really anything like traffic jams here. Which I appreciate. And everything is really homely. This is a hardworking town. The people take really great pride. The people who live in the city, right? And also the ones who used to live in the city but live in the county now still take great pride over Baltimore. They wish it was better. And I think that it's on its way of being better. But I think it's going to take the people who have lived here for generations to see the possibilities and don't get discouraged and demand more local leadership to do better. But overall, I'm just seeing what Philly has gone through, and I just don't want to see generations of Black and brown people be displaced because they can't see what's right ahead. Like, this city is going to be a completely different place in 5, 10, 15 years.
Right.
I've already seen it with Philadelphia, and I think all of us have seen it with New York. So it's just like, don't give up just yet. So I'm here, you know, through Brick Rose to kind of hopefully inspire people to, you know, keep their business in the city, to, you know, work within a network. I'm excited. Like, I see the possibilities, and I was willing to give up a pretty lucrative career in tech to do it because I know that what is to come, and also my peace of mind. Like, I'm in such a far better space mentally, like mental health wise, being in Baltimore and not having to deal with traffic, being in Baltimore and not having to deal with, you know, suburbia of Silver Spring, the craziness that's happening in DC, you know, with the change of administrations, a lot of things have changed. And no matter where you sit on the political spectrum, right? It's just a completely different city, D.C. that is. It's lost its character. It's lost its vibe. Like, some of it is still there in pockets, but it's slowly losing it. And one particular area is, like, 14th and U. When I first moved to D.C., it had soul. It had, you know, Jamaican spots. It had Ethiopian bars. It had anything and everything. Ethnic. And when you go down there isn't really much that is. I just don't want to see that happen in Baltimore. I really don't.
So. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Rest Leads to Revenue podcast. We're going to take a quick break.
Get ready for Hype Beauty Hair and Skin Podcast with the dynamic duo, Dana Johnson, part owner of Kuma Wellness Fitness and Apparel, where you will receive healthy tips for dieting, exercising, and keeping fit in order to maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Hi, Monica James, natural stylist and owner of Naturally Native Exclusive Hair, Skin, and Beauty. I'll be discussing ways to improve your daily beauty regimen to enhance your beauty naturally and information on keeping your skin healthy, beautiful, and glowing. Don't forget to check us out
every Saturday
at 1 p.m. where we'll be discussing beauty, hair, skin, and fitness.
I am Donna D. Murray, Rest Leads to Revenue Podcast, and we have our special guest, Bianca J. Jackson. So I'm going to continue with the questions. The next question is, how do you balance all your businesses and get the rest you need so you can be productive the next day?
Oh, that's a great question. And over the last few months, I've introduced some new routines, thanks to my friends. So now I've started blocking off my calendar, so I only take calls on like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I don't work on Friday. At least I try not to, right? And then Monday is my project day. So that's how I try to keep my schedule. And depending on what's happening in the brick and mortar, the art gallery, there could be events on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, but luckily they all kind of range between a 4 to 6 hour range. So once I get them set up, they're good to go. I go back upstairs, hang out, or go out and then come back. I try to make everyone schedule an appointment with me and try not to answer random phone calls throughout the day. So it's more about me just being obedient and saying, you know what, this person does not have an appointment. They got to get back to me later, or they got to get on my schedule. So it's still a work in progress, but I've gotten a whole lot better than what I was at the beginning of the year.
Yes, I love that because you do need to manage your time, and if not, then people will steal it and take it away, and that's something pressure because once that time is gone, you can't get that back. So that's great. So thank you for sharing that. Now, the other question is, do you recommend posting on social media, especially LinkedIn, if you're tired, and why?
No, absolutely not, because you're going to wind up doing what I do from time to time, misspelling words, leaving off articles, looking crazy, right? So you're kind of, you know, trying to get it out, and you're not really focusing or trying to do it from your phone, and then, you know, you got the wrong link. So, no, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's better to do things when you're well-rested, and especially if you're doing something that requires a lot of brain power, maybe do that first thing in the morning. But when it comes to LinkedIn and posting, and I actually need to do a better job of this, is actually scheduling, right? So coming up with the strategies and scheduling a week out at least, at the very least. But if I'm, you know, I really want to get to a month, right? So scheduling a month out of just, you know, things that I think are valuable that, other people should know or may want to know. And then you can, you know, have space for your one-off for things that just randomly happen, right?
Right.
You know, like today, I won't talk about today's news. But yeah, so, you know, talking about whatever happened today. So.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I at times, you know, I've seen people post things and it's just like, were they asleep or what? Or falling asleep because it's like, it's like, oh my goodness, like, why won't you wait? And it's like, it's not that serious that it can wait the next day when you rest it and you're able to think it through. Because once it's out there, at times you can't always take that back. So, and even though you might be able to take it off, somebody can read it on just that quick. So yes, that's important. Okay, well, thank you. The other question, what have you noticed that we do that turn business away on LinkedIn specifically?
That turns them away? Oh,
yes.
Man,
like, is there anything specifically that people do that turn, like, oh no? Yes.
Yeah. So here's the the thing. I don't mind people sharing their political opinions, right? So everyone is entitled to whatever it is that they believe. But at the point where you become combative with people on social media, I think then that's the turnoff, right? So, for example, there was some woman, I don't even remember her name now, but we connected many, many years ago. And, of course, everyone had a lot to say when Trump won, and even, you know, a few years after that. And it was just crazy, the types of conversations that were on LinkedIn. I'm just like, okay, people are feeling the way however they want to feel. But this particular woman, she, I won't say what party she was a part of, because that doesn't really matter. But the part that was just really annoying was, she, for every time someone posted something, she posted something equally as negative.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
So, right. So, and even if it does, that doesn't even matter. It just turned me off. So, after the fifth or sixth time that I saw her going back and forth with someone, I was just like, I don't need this type of energy on my timeline. So, she got booted too with everybody else, right? I think sometimes when people get so wrapped around and wound up by their political views, they can't just come to a point of just agreeing to disagree, right? Like, we're just not going to see eye to eye. Let's move on. It's just like, literally, every time that I open my feed and it talks about Trump, she has something to say. And I just like, I can't do this. I don't mind seeing the stories, but I don't like seeing combativeness. That doesn't look professional, right? You can have your opinion, but don't be combative. So
that's true.
Yeah, so that's one. And I'm like trying to see, for me it would be like posting like really, really inappropriate stuff. And I'm trying, inappropriate stuff. Like having a profile that doesn't make sense. So there was a gentleman who, I guess he's like a mission volunteer or something. I'm not sure if he actually has his own business. It doesn't matter. But what was burned into my memory was a picture of him and a child from Africa as his profile picture. And it just rubbed me with all types of creepy vibes, right? So I read so much about, you know, sex trafficking and tourism in Africa with kids. And like it just bothered me. So it made me, that was just the feeling that I got from the image. And I was just like, I'm tired of this whole, you know, white favorite thing. It just really bugs me. So I just blocked him, right? Or I removed the connection. So, I mean, just being mindful of how you're, I think that's the theme, the consistent theme between the two, right? It's like how you present yourself for people who don't really know you and haven't had a conversation. How are you presenting yourself on the platform, either through your profile or through the things that you say and you engage with? And you got to know that people are watching. And if you don't care if people are, you know, disconnecting with you, then that's fine. Be exactly who you want to be on the platform. But, yeah, I mean, for me, those are things that would get you blocked and removed.
Right. Okay, great. Once again, thank you for staying with Rest Leads to Revenue podcast. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Donetta D. Mooring. I want to share with you my new book, 21 Days to Improve Your Sleep Hygiene and Lose Weight. It's a great book that provides guidance, tips, and techniques on how you can become more mindful, gain energy, and become more productive to grow your business. I appreciate you purchasing my book on Amazon, or you can go to my website, Donetta D. Mooring, which is donettadmooring.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for staying with our special guest, Bianca J. Jackson. Bianca, thank you so much for your time, your patience, and your expertise, sharing all that knowledge with us. I really, really appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I really enjoyed being here, and I didn't realize I would tell you so much about the Brick Road story.
It's not a problem. That's what it's all about, sharing. Now, I want to give you the opportunity of how our listeners can contact you and support you.
Sure. So one of the best ways to reach out to me is LinkedIn. So you would find me at Bianca J. Jackson at LinkedIn. And I'm actually releasing a course. So it's called Convert with Confidence on LinkedIn. It's specifically built for entrepreneurs in mind, those who want assistance, feeling a little bit more confident, converting their connections into clients. So I'm about to start the next cohort soon. So if you want information about it, find me on LinkedIn.
Okay, great. Thank you. And if anyone would like to reach out to me, the best way is my website, which is https://www.donattadmorin.com. And that's spelled DonattaDMorin.com. And it always, sleep heals.